Let's go into the world this morning. Let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving, and we say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that the truth of your word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion, no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this morning. And we declare and decree at the end of today's meeting as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. Matthew's Gospel. Let's start in Matthew's Gospel this morning, 18:20. Matthew's Gospel, 18:20. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So we're having a special meeting this coming weekend. Is that correct? Are you looking forward to it? We're just going to talk about what exactly is a special meeting and how do we prepare for special meetings? Very important. What is a special meeting and how do we prepare for special meetings? Very important. Matthew's Gospel, 18:20. Now look at what Jesus says there in verse 20. He says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Yeah, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Right? So when you look at what Jesus is saying here, he's saying that there's something about two people meeting. Are we together? There's something about two people meeting. There is something about two people meeting, right? Where two or three are gathered together in my name. Now, in my name doesn't mean that J-E-S-U-S is pronounced or J-E-S-U-S is spelled out or J-E-S-U-S is pasted on the wall. I would guess that, right? Where two or three are gathered in my name, right? There am I in their midst. The name there will just speak about his presence, his authority. Right? Yeah, we look at the name and you know, we're looking at the name of Jesus. Is that correct in yourselves? The name of Jesus is what you're looking at in yourselves. We looked at what you call the functions of names. What is the implication of names, or what do names symbolize? Right? If you now look through Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 18, it says, Jesus came and said unto them, all power, authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. You know, says, go ye therefore into the world and preach and teach, right? Or teach all nations. Right, he says, teaching them in verse 20 to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Right, so he says, teaching them to observe. Right, teaching them to observe. He says, go into the world and teach. Then he says, teaching them to observe. Today you find out that about the name of Jesus is that it speaks about the authority of Jesus. All together, the name of Jesus will speak about the authority of Jesus. Right, so when we gather together in his name, can we say we're gathered together in his authority? Or can we say we're gathered together on account of his authority? So when we come together, we're coming together on account of the authority in the name of Jesus. Right? You know, you must not deal with the name of Jesus as J-E-S-U-S. Right? You know why? Because J-E-S-U-S is the English translation of the word Jesus. Are we together? Right? Or the word, you know, Yeshua, sorry. Right? Yeah. You know, salvation comes, he that delivers, you know, different, you know, words around those, you know, paths. Right? But the fact is that when we talk about coming in the name of Jesus, we are coming in his authority. You know, so when you look at a demon-possessed person and you say, I command you, demon, foul spirit, to be out of this body in the name of Jesus. What are we saying? Is we are saying we are casting out on the authority, on the pedestal of the work that he has done, the authority he has given to us. Right? So Jesus won the victory and he gave us the authority. Are we together? So it means we are in identification with his victory. Is that correct? We are in identification with the victory of Jesus. We are in association with the victory of Jesus. We are in, you know, communal, what's the word? We have a communion, that's the word, with the work, with the name, with the authority of Jesus. Right? So Jesus now goes, you know, in John 14, there's something very important I want to show you there this morning, you know, just before we go today, right? So, you know, look at John 14 verse 1. We have a special meeting in Christ's head, and this meeting happens once in a year. You know, the question is, what is it about special meetings? Now, I've taught you over time that every Christian gathering is a special meeting. Are we together? Every time we come together, we have a special meeting. We have a special meeting already by default. So this is a special meeting. Are we together? Why is it special? Because we are gathered together in the name of the Lord. But you know, there's something around meetings that can make it different from other meetings. Are we together? Right? So whilst every Christian meeting is a special meeting, there's what we term special meetings. Right? They are special. That means they are holy. Yeah? What does it mean to be holy? Set aside. Right? There are meetings that are set apart for a cause. Now, who are the people that come for meetings? Look at John 14. Shall not your heart be troubled, verse 1. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Right? In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. So in my Father's house, we've looked at that over time. It's just the word that speaks about a temple or the household. Right? So in my Father's household are many mansions. That means there are many people that God dwells in. So think about you. Where you are now is called Novotel Hotel. Novotel Hotel, Edinburgh Park. Right? In this building, we have many rooms. Right? Yeah? In this building, we have many rooms. So let's assume God's Palace meets in this room called Turnhouse Room. Can we say God's Palace meets in Turnhouse Room? Can we also say God's Palace meets in Novotel Hotel? Why? Because Turnhouse Room is in Novotel Hotel. Are we together? Right? So think about Novotel, for instance, as a temple. Are we together? Right? And the room called Turnhouse Room is like a mansion in the temple. Are we together? Right? So where are we, Novotel Hotel? Where are we, Turnhouse Room? Where is God? In his temple. Where is God? Is in you. Did you get that? Right? So my Father's house, the Greek word there for the word there, mansions, mone, it just really means a place where one stays to continue a journey. Yeah? The point or the place where one stays to progress on a journey. So usually you can see like the inn or Holiday Inn, for instance. Yeah? You know how you're traveling, for instance, in the States, you're traveling up down south. Right? And you are, you know, having several inns. You know, inns have the best burgers. I hope you know that. Even though I've given you a tip. Right, inns, they usually have the best burgers, right? So if you go to any inn, yeah, they are usually very fresh, fresher than what you will see in your major, whatever name you call it, right? But what they're in is just a place where you rest, not your house. Are we together? Nobody relocates to stay in an inn. Are we together? You only stay there to continue a journey. Are we together, right? So where is God? In his temple. Are we together? Where is God? Is in you. Where are you? You are a part of his temple. So the believer is part of God's temple. So can we say God dwells in his temple and God dwells in the believer? Or can we also say God dwells in the believer in his temple? Did you get what I just said? God dwells in the believer in his temple, because you find the believer as part of the temple. No, you know that your body is a temple. Right? So he says, my Father's house are their main mansion. So God dwells in you, God dwells in me. Look at verse 16. He says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give unto you another. The word there, another, in the Greek is the word that says allos. Yeah? Allos. There's heteros, there's allos. Right? He says, verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall what? Give you another comforter. Praise God forevermore. Yeah? Now, the word their comforter, right, suggests that man will need comfort. Is that true? Are we together? Yeah? You know, when you think about life that way, it sort of helps you to make a balance to your expectation in life, such that any place or any field you find yourself, right, you are there knowing that you have the comfort of God's Spirit. Are we together? Right? So, God dwells in us by his Spirit. Is that correct? So can we say God dwells in you, in me? Does God dwell in you? Say God dwells in me. Say God dwells in you. So look at someone else. Say God dwells in you. Say God dwells in me. Say God dwells in you and dwells in me. So where does God dwell in? In us. Are we together? So when we come together, what have we done? We who house God have come together. Or we, where God dwells. Are we together? We've come together. So he says, so is it by default in authority, in the authority of his name?
Yes.
Yeah, because we are coming in association with his work. Are we together? So wherever two or three, are we more than two here? Are we more than three here? So what are we assured of? That God is here. So what is a special meeting? A special meeting will be a coming together of people that have the indwelling of the Spirit on account of the work of Jesus. I'll say it one more time. A special meeting will be the coming together, the feasting together of people, the coming together of people, the coming together of people, right? Yeah, to fellowship on account of the work of Jesus. The fellowshipping together of people to get in a place. Are we together? So what two or three are, and is this a physical thing? Is it physical? Yeah? So can we gather here and we know our rest assured that God is with us? So what is the confidence that God is with us? That we prayed for this room or that we are here? Yeah. So when we come together, what are we sure of? God is here. What's together? When we are together, we are certain that God is here. When we come together, we are sure that God is here because we are here. So because you are here, it means I can hear God's voice. Are you here? And because I'm here, you can hear God's voice. And because we are here, we can hear God's voice. So what happens in meetings when we come together? It's an opportunity for God to speak to you through another. Are we together? It's an opportunity. Sometimes some of us are looking for things that are not lost. Yeah? You're looking for that which is not lost. Yeah? You see, if you get yourself in a local church where priority is placed on the indwelling of the Spirit, you will see that there will be much more production from that Spirit in your meetings or for your life. We're together, right? So I am in your life to be a blessing to you by God's Spirit. You are in my life to be a blessing to me by God's Spirit. All together. So who do we undermine when we come together? No one. All together. No one. Right? So he says, I will send you another comforter and that he will abide with you forever. So the presence of God abides with the believer forever. So everywhere a believer walks into, he walks in with the presence of God. All together. You know, see, like I said over time, sometimes in our theology, we begin to say things that we're not certain about. You know, I'm many of us to say things like, you know, when we come together in church, we don't come into the presence of God. We are the presence of God. Thinking about it, it doesn't make sense now. Are we together? We understand what you mean. You carry the presence of God. But you know, there's such a thing called the manifest presence of God that happens where people mix, where people gather. Right? And you see, you ought not to think that before that happens, you need to be 20. You ought not to think that before that happens, you need to be 100. Two or three is enough. We're together. So it means if two or three is enough, it means when we have 20 or 30 or 40 is to our advantage. All together. You know, sometimes you go for believers meetings, you have believers meetings, for instance, and you rotate within your groups. And you find out that the group you're coming from, someone said something to you, and the group you've gone into, someone has confirmed the same thing someone said to you without hearing or without knowing. Are we together? Right? So what is that? That is a confirmation that God's Spirit is with us. That's a confirmation that God is speaking through His Spirit to you. So what do you do when things like that are said? You take notes. You know, I was talking with someone very recently. You know, and the person kept re-emphasizing certain things that were said in the past that were supposed to bring guidance to them. But you know the unfortunate thing? When some things or some instructions were given to produce a warning, you know what he did? What was not done? Those things were not taken down as notes. Amen. You know, sometimes we trust our brain a lot, such that you think that everything you hear stays. It's not true. Altogether. Yeah? There's nobody in this world who can say for 1 year everything listens to is retained in their mind. Okay, let me first ask. Is anybody here that's like that? That everything you listen to is retained. If I asked you what I preached last week, you will remember without thinking anything. Yeah. Even all the scriptures we've used today, some of you, I will still ask you now, you don't remember. Is that that's not a spiritual problem? Altogether. It's a human, it's a limitation. It's a human reality. Do you understand? Yeah. Whereby your brain cannot as much store everything, even ChatGPT itself. Do you understand? There are some questions you ask ChatGPT, you say, sorry, I cannot give you an answer to that. Or even if you can ask somebody a question 2-3 times and instead you give it, you have to give it 3 different answers sometimes, most times. All together. So why is it important to take note in meetings? Because in meetings, God usually will stir the heart of another to help your days ahead. Did you hear what I just said? God will stir the heart of another to help your days ahead. Remember some things happened, for instance, last year. You know, and before those things began to happen, right, God had by 2-3 different believers' meetings, right, reassured my heart, and that helped me prepare for what was happening or what was going to happen. Now, when things started happening along the longer direction, I was almost at the point of getting into, you know, being troubled or concerned. But what happened? I went back to those thoughts and I saw those words. And what happened? It got my heart back. Altogether, it got my heart back. Altogether, a lot of times when tribulation comes in life, a lot of times, because of how distracted man can be, it might be difficult for man, even a believer, to hear God's voice. I hope you know that. Yeah? Listen to what I did not say. I did not say that God will speak to you. I did not say it's difficult for God to speak to you. I'm saying it will be difficult for man to hear God's voice when the storm rages. But you see, when you have a note, when you have those things written down, what do? You go back to the notes, right? And remind yourself. You see, I hope you know God's word to you, God's word through somebody to you 10 years ago, when you read it today, it's still God's word. Together, it's still God's word. It's still God's word. It's still God's word. Together. So you must ensure that you have that understanding that we have the indwelling of the Spirit, and by default, God wants to be our help. 1 Timothy 3, verse 15. Excuse me. 1 Timothy 3, verse 15. Will not tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the what? The living God, and the pillar and the ground of truth. What is Paul saying here? That there's such a thing called knowing how you behave yourself when we come together. Amen? Now we come together and play football. Either it is love feast or love festival, right? Can we come together and play football? Can we come together and pray? Can we come together and study? Is there a way we behave when we come together to study? Is there a way we behave when we come together to pray? Is there everything that goes? Not everything goes. You know, we find ourselves in a generation where people are trying to get this and get their mind in a place of, you know, we are free. You know, we are free to do everything we want to do in this life and everything we want to do in this world. And that's why you see people go as far to do so many things. Are we together? Right? I think there was a couple months ago where one brother was praising and he was dancing in church, you know, and we had to go and carry somebody's wife. Right? I started running. I keep walking. I keep running. You know, somebody that's behaving in a way that should not be found amongst us. Altogether, I'm trying to say that, let's even assume it's not somebody's wife. Why are you carrying somebody in the meeting? You know, I always tell you the example of the one who carries where to go and carry the pulpit of the pastor. I started chasing him. Why would they not chase him? You understand? They have to chase that kind of person, because by default, that kind of person is already has seen a template. I hope you know, no matter how stupid a man is, when he goes to an environment, as long as he's not insane, you know, there's insanity. He has his head working, but he just behaves in some stupid way. You know, when you go to an environment, you can judge to know what how do you think a man that goes for visa interview at US embassy does not misbehave? But when he steps out, he's known as a stupid man. Because when you go to an atmosphere, no matter how stupid you think you are, you can gauge. So we're together. So when you see something like that happening in simply, it means that they are gauging. And you know, and it's one thing for it to happen once, and you know, we say, okay, maybe this person, we need deliverance. But when it keeps happening consistently, just like someone does it here today, right now, and I just close my eyes and do like I did not see it. You understand? Another day, what another person will do will be worse than that. Because human being always likes to test the limit of others. Like even your children, they do it. Now, is that not correct? Yeah? They want to test your limit. That's why if you tell your child, right, do this, don't do this. If you do this, I will scold you. Make sure you scold them when they do it. Are you here? make sure you scold them when they do it. You say, don't go to the kitchen, right? When they go to the kitchen, they are testing you. Not together, they are testing you. So if you say, if you go to the kitchen, I will scold you. What will happen? When they go to the kitchen, what do? You ensure you, the scold, I'm not telling you what the scold should be. You define your scold. Everybody's scold threshold is different, right? But make sure you do something that will mark a remembrance in their mind. Because the day you say, go, don't go to the kitchen, and they go, you don't do anything. That's the way they will go out. One day you just see your child in Audi. You say, I'm looking for my mom, looking for my mom, looking for my mom. I don't know where my mommy went to. And before you know, they'll put you inside social care. Go together, right? So you must ensure that you know where to draw the lines. That's why we behave the way we behave in church, because Paul says that you know how you ought to behave when we come together. How we together, right? Because the church is a place of meeting. So the question is, what are the kind of things we see in meetings? Look at Acts chapter 1. Look at a special meeting, for instance. Acts chapter 1. Acts 1, 1 to 3. The former trials have I made with Theophilus of all that Jesus began to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen, right? To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them for how many days? 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the what? To the kingdom of God. Was that a special meeting? Was that a special meeting? So, what did God, Jesus tell them in Luke? Go to Luke. Look in Luke 24, 48. Luke 24, 48. It says, and ye are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem, until ye be what? And deal with power. So where did Jesus ask them to stay? In Jerusalem. Is there such a thing called a place? Is a place important? Is a place important for a meeting? Let me ask a question. Are we decide to meet at a place for a meeting? Are we decide to meet at a random place and convert that place to a place for a meeting? Are we together? What makes the place special is the intent and the experiences that I had there. You know, when God's Palace was still younger, we're still years ago at the time, there's a place we used to meet as a church in, we moved from, there's a place called Chika Airport Road, you know, Airport Road. They moved to Alita. This was 2007, 2008. We used to start our service around maybe 12 or 1. Why? Because the place was a nightclub before the next day. All together. So, the people that use the place for the nightclub, they will finish their stuff. Then what will happen? We will now go and we set up, rearrange, and start our meeting. Is that place a special meeting place? Because of what we are doing there, is that correct? Can God raise the dead there? Yeah. So will God say, because this place was used last night for a club place, my spirit cannot go with you? No. Right? Because God's spirit is always with the believer. And when believers who have the indwelling of the spirit come together, they can have a special meeting. You know, the utterances that will be said to you in meetings that you will forget all your life. Are we together? Right? There are words, right, that will be said in meetings. Like, I would always give an example. Yeah? For instance, I remember there was a meeting my dad had gone for instance, and it was in that meeting that the prophet had prophesied that they're going to have 3 children. Amen? Right? And he didn't just say 3 children. He said 3 children. The first will be a boy. The second will be a girl. The third will be a boy. So is that something that can happen in supernatural meeting? Yes, it's something that can happen in supernatural meeting. So when we come together, are we here? Are we here? Don't be shocked. Let's be here. Yeah? When we come together, what do? We treat our meeting places as places where God's spirit can move. Amen, amen, amen. We treat our meeting places as places where God's spirit can move. Say, God is here because we are here. Say, God is here because we are here. Say, God is here because we are here. So you'll find out that when God wants to do anything in the earth, God will use men. Are we together? When God wants to do something in the earth, God will use what? Men. When God wants to do anything on the earth, God will. So what is God's best method in the earth? You know, while we're growing up, there's a song we used to sing. I need an angel. You know that song? Call me an angel. You know that in the real sense, what you need is a man. Amen? What you need is a what? Is a man. Amen, amen, amen. What you need is a man. So you need to ensure that you don't joke with God's method on the earth. You see, a lot of times when you miss men, you miss God. Amen? When you miss men, you what? You miss God. A lot of people are praying and looking to God to speak to them directly on things he has said to them through other men. Were we together in church? A lot of people are looking and they are paying attention, trying to hear God's direction. You know, some people always want to say, God, God, speak to me today. Now, does God speak to people individually? Yes. But I hope you know that, you see, when you get, you know, a lot of experience around hearing God's word is when you come together as a local church or as a garden of saints. You know, in our generation right now, something happened a few years ago, what you call COVID. Is that correct? People have prophesied that that's the end of the world. Are we together? Right? I don't know where I'm preaching right now. I shall know I'm on earth. Right? You know, what happened as COVID happened about 100 years ago in the 1918s. Right? And the same thing happened, they prophesied is the end of the world. You see, God is doing something on the earth and he's using men. So it means that when you want to find out what God is doing, look through the activities of men. Now, when COVID came around, people started saying the new normal. Are we together? Is online church, you know. So now people, you know, a lot of people are so, you know, so, you know, I want to be careful with my words right now. You know, some people, all they get in life, all they get to do in life, right, is just to be hopping from church to church. Are we here? Yeah. And obviously YouTube makes it easier for you today. All together. YouTube makes it, you can attend 4 services in 3 hours. Praise and worship, you go to this church. Right? Testimony. You go to this church to encourage your heart. Then, when it's time for the word, you go to another one. When it's time for, where is the meeting community where we want to play during the weekend, you go to this church. What happened? You now merge everything together. Are we together? You are a very confused person. If every morning you are jumping from, let me use this word, pillar to post, joining prayer meetings online, you are a confused human being. Very confused. You don't know what you want. And that thing you're looking for will find you. I hope you know. I hope you know that by default, right? Even a lot of times, what we call, and you know, I don't have a problem with anybody praying online. If you like, pray online. If that's anybody's, everybody has different instruction and different whatever you want to call it. I'm trying to say that there's such a thing called physical meetings. Do you understand there's an atmosphere here? Can you be blessed through the phone? See, let me tell you, I've healed string sicknesses. I've healed string sicknesses through text messages. And text. Are we together? Yeah? Some of you, if you knew me some 6-7 years ago, I used to heal people on WhatsApp. I did it for a while, then stopped. Right? I'll give a word of knowledge on WhatsApp status. And they were different. And I don't call. I don't do voice. They don't hear my voice. So, through text. So I'm trying to say, we've done, you know, people, when they hear us say something like that, they say, because we don't have that. The truth remains, there is something about the coming together of believers that you can never get online. The moment you don't come together, you are missing a huge chunk of the Christian faith. Can online help? Yes, but it's not a substitute. So there's nothing, a believer should not be found calling online new normal. It's new abnormal. Let's just leave the new in front, but it's abnormal. You know, I always tell you, there are people in countries, regions, you know, I said something in church. I was listening to one of our teachings a few days ago, I think just 2 days ago, right? And I remember I was saying something about how, you know, two nations are fighting. For instance, there's what you call Israel and, you know, the other people that are fighting and all of that. And so people think that because Israel is where God came from and the likes of everything, that God is behind them fighting against whoever they are fighting against. But the question is, you know, if you go through statistics, there are more churches in the other place than Israel. More churches there than in Israel. We're together. Right? But people just have that bias. I remember there was a friend of one older friend like that, you know, was saying that, now that you have not started pastoring, you know, one thing you need to do is to just go to Jerusalem. What is happening in Jerusalem? Jerusalem. So that they'll put Joshua Yusuf JP. You know, people even use Joshua Yusuf JP 22 or twice or 2 JP. They started putting about, it's not today now. Let's try putting number, right? Here, JP4. When you add another one again, so people go. And the question is, I've never been to Jerusalem, but you know, you can go to Jerusalem and come back more ignorant altogether, because people that are even living in the Israel, they are not in faith now. A lot of them altogether. So, see, if I can just see the tomb that they buried Jesus, everything in my life will come alive. It's not by like that. Right? So you begin to make use of the online as an excuse. You know, I just feel like God. You know, God is everywhere. You know, I've taught you scripture several. Jesus went to the wilderness to pray. Why? Away from what? Distraction. You know, there's some fast you cannot do in your house. There's some fast you can't do. When I wanted to do my first 3 days fasting, right, the only thing I could do was to ask my dad to use his office at the BQ. Because I know as long as I lock the door, the only food you will eat is God's word. Right? But if I say I wanted to do fast in the house, you know, sometimes when you want to do fast in the house, when you were supposed to study, if I wanted to do 3 days dry, but in the middle of say one or two, you say, let me just do 6 to 6. After I do 6 to 6, they won. 6 to 3, God is hearing all our cry now. What is all this one? I did not kill Jesus now. Let me just. You don't have to confess. Let me just do. Even if I fast to 12, God sees the intent of my heart. You know, your fasting doesn't help God, it helps you. Altogether. The same way you're coming together as a church doesn't help God, it helps you. Right? There are things that happen in atmospheres, there are things that happen. Imagine Acts chapter 2. So we just read Acts chapter 1. How many days did Jesus teach them for? 40 days back to back, right? Do you know that the atmosphere of 40 days teaching, physically meeting, is not the same atmosphere of 40 days teaching online? It can't be the same. What happened in Acts chapter 2? The Bible says, now the day of Pentecost has fully come. What happened? Look at chapter 2. Acts 2. So where did Jesus ask them to meet, to wait for him? Tarry in Jerusalem. Is that a place? So does God deal with places? Yes, you know, there are places that you go to. I always give an example. You know, there's a man called Joseph Ayo Babalola. The place where the river, where he was, you know, he was working as a contractor, where his tractor got spoiled and he healed the first madman. Right? That river is a place. You know, I've told you before, I've gone there to shower severally. If like say I don't know new creation reality, that's your business. We've gone there. Is in what do you call it? Ondo. What's the name of this place? Forgotten the name of the place, right? Yeah. So that is a place. Have you heard of the God of 1930? Do you know the God of 1930? You know God of 1930? Do you know people still pray about? Do you know if you pray with the God of 1930, do you get answer? You know, no. Those are so touche. We don't pray with any other person. We pray in the name of Jesus. There are men God has used in this earth that the moment you use their name on account, I'm talking about you have the authority of Jesus, so, but that work they've done has a way of building the faith in you. You know, God of 1930, who was the man that God used? Where several dead people were raised and all the like. Who was the man God used? Apostle Joseph, blah, 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 blah. Do you know how old he was? I've told you before now. He was born 1904. That means he was 26. A 26-year-old man did a prayer 95 years ago. We'll still talk about it today. In 26. You know, that's why I'm always very interested. And you know, a lot of us here have young children that are growing up. You see, there's a time as a pastor, I need to be very sensitive to know when we start teaching them intentionally. You cannot go to school and be playing 10-10. You know 10-10? I still come to church and be playing bodybuilding. We're together. Because from the age they can understand, they can pick God's word. Most of the teenagers that Jesus, most of the people that Jesus had as disciples were teenagers. Well, now what do you do? You know, there's youth church. What are they doing in youth church? The only thing youth church used to do in adult church is to come and break dance. Yeah. I read in it. There's this popular song, I believe I can fly. He lives in me. Just like you did that dance. He lives in me. Hey, yeah. In the banner. Hey, yeah. He lives in me. And I do. He watches over. Youth church. See your age. At age 18, 19. Yeah, then he watches over. And you wear white. And tie white handkerchief for your leg. Right? And it's, wow, our people are so talented. I'm saying your age mates were the people that turned the world around. That we're talking about Peter today. Peter was the only one that was the oldest. 90% of them were teenagers. Meeting 30 at age 26. Until today, that meeting is imprinted in the history of man. You know, some of us feel like, well, we are still young, yeah, we can just play around and, you know, there's still time. You hope you know there's no time. Because there's nobody who is on this earth that you can tell me you know the date of your last breath on this world. Now, are you by word of knowledge? No certainties around it. But you know, even if you know certainties around it, when that day comes, you still have faith. That is not today, it's not today. We just, God is for us. Are we together? So you need to ensure that you're making the best of meetings. I hope you know, not two meetings are the same. Do you know that? Not two Christian meetings are the same. Not two are the same. There was 1930 meeting. Apostle Awale Babalola had other meetings after them. Are we together? Imagine somebody that missed the 1930 meeting because he wanted to take his girlfriend to go and do her hair. Imagine the one who missed that meeting for whatever reason it is. You know, I can always tell you, if you were not there, you were not there. See, no matter how much you read Acts chapter 2, look at Acts chapter 2. It's just a story to us. You know what happened in Acts? Look at Acts 2. Look at Acts 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord, where? In one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a what? Rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they are sitting. I hope you know, everybody that read this verse just now, if we were to imagine what happened, your imaginations would be different. Are we here? What you will imagine, if they say put it in a movie, it will be different. So I'm trying to say, even though we are reading of it, your experience of it is not the same as hearing it. Yeah? You know, like I always say, there are some things that are better felt than told. Yeah, the word telt is a Scottish word used for, yeah. No, it's actually serious. No, this one is serious. This one is not Latin. This one is serious. Yeah. The word telt is a Scottish word used for told. Amen. Yeah. If you were not there, you were not there. There are meetings you miss and you take it 10 years to recover. Not because God is not loving, but because you were not smart enough. You know, I tell you, I'm a product of meetings. Amen. I'm a product of meetings. Yeah, I can begin to list several meetings I've got. You know, for instance, I'll tell you, for instance, my experience at Christ Camp meeting 2019, right? And that day, or the day before, the next day, I was supposed to have an exam in the UK, right? And what happened? I was almost going to book my flight to just, you know, ensure that I'm there for the exam, but I just tried to walk a way around, find a way around it. And the afternoon session, what happened? Just, I was in the midst of thousands of people. You know, and Pastor Nenka just said, "Is Pastor Joshua Yusuf here? Come out quickly." Imagine I was not there. You know, I was told you, when during that heat of the moment, I was so pressed. One of the things I've learned to do is that, you know, you can hold your pressing. You know, when P is pressing, you can press it back. You know, think about it now. If you are pressed and you are next in line for US visa, the last five you apply for, they rejected. The last five you apply for, they say, bang, sorry, give you red card. Right? And you are the next in line. And you are pressed, what will you do? You know, man has a way of holding it. He says, someone will do like this. Right? But why is it that when it's about church, we don't know how to hold it? And let's assume we don't even want to hold it. Why don't you go before church? That's why I always tell you, not eating before Sunday service is for your good. So I want to be awake. You drink hot chocolate. How can you be awake with hot chocolate? No, I don't. I just want to drink some hot chocolate. No, it's the light one I took. Oh, you know, mistakenly put two slices of bread inside, dip it inside. You now come here, pastor, especially I do like this. You know, sometimes when I'm shouting in church, I'm waking some of you up. Yeah, I don't say you receive it. You just say yes. But you know, you can never sleep. You are seeing the immigration officer there. You can't sleep. How is it that make you sleep? If what you tell yourself is the father of your father's house, they are pursuing you. Why can't you tell yourself that the church where you are sleeping is power of your father's house? Can't we just believe that church is just a place where we just come together? There are things that people, There was a meeting we used to go for when I was younger called Palm of Strangers. You know, one of those meetings was a meeting when I heard the first testimony of a lady who was pregnant. I've told you before. She had given birth to a white stone. Things do occur. Eh? You know, I always tell you, you have victory. Is that correct? We are victorious. We have the believer's authority. We've taught you believer's authority. But don't, because you know believer's authority, discredit people's experiences. Obviously, you don't elevate experience more than God's word. It's God's word overall. Right? But don't discredit people. Somebody tell you that every night they used to pee on themselves at age 40. He says, your mind is your mind. They are oppressing that person. Your mind is your mind is your mind is your mind. Yeah. So I was saying something recently. You know, there's a very popular conversation that's going around. Can a believer be demon possessed and all those pleasant grammar? My dear brother and sister, you see, when you, I casted out a demon recently, right? And I don't like talking about this, so let me just jump about it. But let me tell you, demons do oppress. You can finish speaking in tongues. A person can finish speaking in tongues and experience the oppression of demons. What a lot of believers have not learned to do is to superimpose their authority on situations. But you will be so unfortunate and not even smart enough to say every Christian that is demon oppressed was never born again. How do people sound like that? Have you seen? You've not been to shrine before, but I remember there was one video that was just trending one day. So they were on the boats. They were just saying, Jesus power, Jesus power. So the bishop shouted it now, saying, Mami, what a power. Because Mami, what a power. Jesus power. Because they are scared, Mami, what a power. Before he capsized their boats. He said, no, leave. Devil is on his own. Don't play with devil. Let devil just be doing what devil wants to do. That's somebody who is living in fear. How can devil be on his own? You are calling devil. But believers are not taught well enough how to exercise their authority in Christ. It's a thing, right? So I've been in meetings where strange things happen. So meetings are things that you need to ensure you pay attention for. Remember, I said every Christian meeting is a special meeting. This Sunday meeting is special. The things we experienced last week, we don't experience them today. Yet we experience today, we'll experience them next week. Because you're not the one that determines when God will want to meet you at the point of your need. Have you heard stories of people saying that, Pastor says something like, there's a lady here, she has been praying for the fruit of the womb, and I just saw the angel brought the baby. Have you heard this kind of stories before? The angel brought the baby, but she was not in church. See, even if you like laugh, say anything you want to say about it. I'm trying to say what they are communicating with that is that in a meeting like that, somebody missed something that was supernaturally theirs. Now they say it is angel that gave the baby, or angel did not bring the baby, or angel threw the baby away and not see the mother. Any story you want to hear from that. But I'm trying to say that there are things people miss in meetings. 10 years, 20 years, you'll be looking for it. Altogether. So never forget that God's method is man. See, God's method is man. Acts 2. Now, the day of Pentecost was fully come, and they were together in one what? Accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all what? Filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to what? To speak with other tongues. Now, what do you see from this narrative? They began to speak, and like I said that before, do you suppose all of them spoke together at once? You hear the scripture I just asked, all of you didn't answer together at once. You get that? That's human nature for you. So when you come to believers for a meeting like this, there's every tendency about 120 of them did not start speaking together. But there's something called the first responder. Hallelujah. Whereby somebody starts it and others follow. All together. You know, I know how fervent you are in the things of God when I see your response to the things of God. Right? So if I call you now and give you a microphone and say, give us a tongue and interpretation and defy us. See, Pastor, me? You see, that, Pastor, me means you are not growing. You hear? It just means you don't have a relationship outside of what we, you just used to wear fine clothes and come on Sunday. You understand? Because if you are somebody who has a devotion, where you know that you pray consistently and have interaction and fellowship with God every day, not once in a week or once in a month, What happened? What did you give up the mic? What will you do? You know how to start. Are we together? You know where to start in tongues. Are we together? And you know that anything can follow from there. And from there, you give a word of knowledge. You give a word of wisdom. Right? But what does that say? You know, it's always beautiful. To see. For me, what matters to me in the Christian faith and pastoring the church is see people grow. Right? There's some of you, for instance, the first day that you come to church, when I hear your utterance, I'll be giving your leader and your group sign. Please help me connect. Help me bring connection to that body of Christ there. How's it together? But 6 months down the line, what happens? It changes. How's it together? I remember you very well. The first day you came, this is where you stood. I always use you as an example. You stood there, right? Sister Abami's mouth was like, as if they used to staple her from inside. To staple you. You see, now every believer's meeting, she has word for almost everybody in the meeting. That's growth. That's growth. If after 2 years, 2 years in God's palace, is that correct? If after 2 years I give her my, come and minister, Pastor, I don't know what to say. That means you're not growing. So in a meeting like that, what happened? Bible says this, Holy Ghost fell. That Acts 10. It says, they were filled with the Holy Ghost and they began to speak. That means there was somebody that responded first. Are we together? Right? I know you said something about joy, for instance. Imagine that. I've taught you before. Imagine we are preaching and your sins are forgiven in Christ. You just sit down. You see? You just sit down. As you're watching. Tell us more. Some of us, you like Faith and Foolish series more than any other series in God's palace. Because you just want to come and laugh. Because you know there's a lot of jokes, a lot of things that we say. You just laugh and forget. I just like the way that man preach. I love the way he preach. You know what it means for Peter to preach and a man sat on the window and fell down and did not fall down and he broke his leg. He fell down and died. That's how boring the preaching was. Oh, you didn't think of it like that. No, no. Peter was preaching Faith of Holy. I'm sorry, Paul. Paul was, is it Paul? Paul, sorry, you took us Paul. Yeah, that's correct. He was preaching Faith of Holy. Learn how to use Excel. You should be laughing. But Paul will be saying, you know, I'm by the resurrection of Christ. Some people, service has not reached 20 minutes. You finish two packs of chewing gum. Yeah, you are chewing gum, you're still shaking your leg. They've chased you. You don't know. They've pursued you. They found you in the church. In the presence of God. You're chewing gum. See, busy was your night. There are, for instance, where I don't sleep at night, right? And I just from my house come here to church, come and stand here and preach. I don't say you should go and be doing it every day, right? There's time for rest. But you say that if you put your mind, you know, I always say something. If you know, we're in a safe environment, right? If you're in another environment that is not like this country, you know, if you hear tatout, you know, if you hear outside, you would think first that it is knockout. But if you are in Lagos or in Abuja and yet Tata, you can't think knockout. You're like, when is Christmas? You are thinking bullets. Are we together? It's not bullets you would think. Who have they shot now? So just everybody lie down. Imagine everybody. I remember Pastor Lagos giving an example of a church where they came to come and rob one bomb. No, a bomb blast happened around. The pastor jumped from the people that broke his legs. I thought I was supposed to be the last to leave the ship. He barely jumped and broke his leg. Next meeting, the pastor was having, you know, crutches on this thing. Pastor, I know the members were okay. Pastor does not want to go. Pastor feels like he's more important on this side of heaven. But you see, when you hear that kind of sound, what are you thinking? Oh, well, lie down flat. Because you're scared of stray bullets. You know, until they come and tell you that, oh, sorry, it was a tire that busted, your heart will be awake. No matter who chase you with sleep, your eyes will be like this. Any door that opens, like you say, you'll be looking, who is there? Imagine the pastor just say, just relax yourself, everything is under control. Pastor, what do you mean? Until pastor goes out and come back and say, don't worry, just a tire that busted. I'm saying, if that happens for 3 hours, you won't sleep. No matter how sleepy you were 5 days ago or 5 hours ago. So it means you can program your mind. You can work on yourself. All together. So, there's something called first responder, where in a meeting, somebody responds and it gives direction to every other person. All together. right? So there's something called having to follow the flow. You know, one of the things, and that's why you see, for instance, as a pastor, one of the things pastors always aim to do is to have people who can interpret flows in meetings sit at the front. Right? Imagine you have somebody sit there in front and say, glory to God. The person first has to remove their Bible, put on the other chair before they stand up. Is that the kind of person you want in the front of you? Yeah? But what's someone to say, glory to God. Sit. You see that, right? You see? That's why it's good for someone like this to sit in front. When I say glory to God, he say, ah, glory, glory. He put on, he put the bone down his feet. And then glory. The room is rejoicing. Come together before he now stand up. He now scratches his head. Wow. That's why you see, everyone realize those that are in front, they know how to determine what happens behind. So we can sit down together, for instance, right? And pastor is just preaching, oh, I'm the Jesus of God, Christ Jesus. Yeah. What are you saying on your own lips? Jesus of God, Christ Jesus. You say, okay, how does that put food on my table? You are righteous. What? How does that, which one is righteousness of God? I'm like, pastor, righteousness is right standing. We are all standing right. Which one, even if I say that, I don't say I'm still righteous. You see, when you learn life that way, that is how challenges outside of this place will not affect you. Some people, when life deals with them, they wear it like a garment. Don't be that kind of believer. Don't be that kind of believer where I just know that something's wrong with you. I just know. Whether they've evicted you from your house or there's something. No, don't wear your situation. Some people use their situation as makeup. Don't let that be. And in the meetings, you learn how to remind yourself of who you are that will help you outside of the meeting ground. You're in a church where they're teaching you, for instance, your sins are forgiven, you're righteous, that God is on your inside, the Spirit of God dwells with you, God will never leave you alone. You know, that's how you approach situations. Such that you find yourself in the midst of fire, you are sure that God will not leave you alone. You are sure there's a fourth man in the fire. Are we together? You are sure there is a fourth man in the fire. You are sure that God is with you. Right? There is no way you go to that God is not with you. That's the way it helps you navigate your life. Such that when news comes and is good, you stay in joy. When news comes and is not the best, you stay in joy. Your circumstances don't determine how you respond. How do you know a growing believer is not because of the circumstances that come, it's your response to circumstances. In this world, as long as you're in this world, tribulation will always come. There's nobody. Nobody. Everybody. Even the billionaires. You know, the more you grow in wealth, I hope you know, your own cry is different. I was reading the book of, you know, a man in Nigeria, one of the top most, you know, business entrepreneurs in Nigeria. And he listed the amount he was owing banks. One bank, 25 billion. Another bank, 35 billion. I mean, I now say it's only 3.5. He's only 3.5. I'm owing Amex. And my BP is 25 billion. Do you know what 25 billion is? One bank, another bank, 35 billion. Yeah? You know, in those kind of billion you are owing, yeah? You know the anointing, you know, people, pastors have the anointing to clear debt. The debt a lot of times they clear is the debt of 5,000 pounds. Which bank will allow you to sit with that 25 billion? I said, they just forgot. They just didn't see it. And I'm not saying supernatural things don't happen. But you are owing like 5 banks over 100 billionaire. Right? And yet, they are still doing wedding. You are even watching the wedding. Eh? They are still moving on with life. As if nothing. They are still growing to their old age. You are in your 30s. You are owing to 5. Yeah? Anybody knock at the door, you first peep from the window. You have to peep from the window first. Before you peep from the window, you will check the pin. Oh, no, this pin, no camera. Not pigeon is in the car. This pin. This one that you just used to see somebody that used to zoom people. What's the name? Pin something. You shall know the name. That thing I'm talking about. You will check ring. After you've checked ring, you've checked, you know, ring camera. Ring already said that they are wearing uniform. You do not think Royal Mail. You are thinking Bank of Scotland. You can't see the window, you people. Even when you want to put it down, you put it down, put your face out, and you say, eh? Because of Dubai. And it's like, your heart is now beating fast. I don't say she's going to be owing money. Before you say, I don't say she owe money. But I'm trying to say, don't allow what you are going through determine. And it's in meetings like, you know, in meetings like this, when we come together for special meetings, God can use another person to speak to you about what you are going through. And it helps you put your heart in place, in check. Don't be that person that when God speaks to you through another person, you still don't know how to control yourself or comport yourself. The words that are spoken to you by God through another person is to help your life in the coming days. It's to help you. It's to help you. So you have that culture and practice of always saying to yourself, the coming days are better. The coming days are better. I don't have a better yesterday. Do you understand? Yeah. You know, it's one thing to say we've not started, but it's actually good to say we are just starting. You get there's a difference. Yeah? We've not started until we are just starting. Altogether, yeah, you can have that mindset atmosphere around you. I know how to put friends away from you that are bringing, you know. Now, there are real friends that are realistic and telling you dangerous commitment you should not make. Have those people. But there are also those, right, that you know everything. See, every small thing. Hey. I don't like people like that. I don't know what I tell you. Hey, what is hey? Me, the person carrying the body, I'm not shouting. And you know some people is their age that affects you. You know, there's some people it is until you tell them you know how big God's your problem is. You know, it is when you tell them you don't know how a truth this matter is deep. Is your friends like, yeah. So when you begin to know that, I'm not saying you go and dump friends, but know what not to tell them. Yeah, maybe you are in your house. Your baby just falls down on the rug. You now call, and it can't be Brother Abuka because he's a good responder. You now call Brother, it can't be Brother David too, he's a good responder. You shall call one brother. And what happened?
Yeah? It needs to read.
You should have friends where you say, my baby just fell and say, lay your hands on your child. Nothing affects your brain. Nothing affects your body. Your body stays in health. The kind of people you need around you, and even you and your partner, you and your husband and wife, be those kind of people. Not together. Do I, because in this world, if you look left, you know, there's somebody saying, when I look by my left, I see Satan has fallen. When I look by my left, in our world now, when I look at my left, there's trouble. Everywhere there's trouble. Where do you look at that there's no trouble? I think from looking at God, the author and finisher of your faith, everywhere there's trouble. If that one had who I was telling you, no. Eh? I'm thinking of starting a business in Edinburgh. Somebody just said, I don't think your market is here. No statistics, no analysis, nothing. They just sense. They just sense that I feel like it's going to flop in the first 6 months. You know, many industries don't take off in the first 6 months. What about you have people around you who are, and that's why you need a good local church. So that even as though you don't have people like that outside of the church, you know somebody that's around you that's going to say, yeah, God is with you. Right? Stay strong. You know, that's what happens in our believers' meeting. I hope in any believers' meeting, except you are not there, you should be edified. Every. It should be something that should reassure your heart that God is with you. It should be something that should reassure your heart that God is with you. You go to the hospital and they tell you that there is something that is wrong with your vein. What do you do? Know the people not to call. Not the people to call. I speak life over you. Call those people. Hey, how long do they say you have left? How long do they say you have left? That's the first thing somebody is saying to you. You say I have like 6 more years to go. All those pity. You know, some people like. You know, the reason why some people say some stories is because they want people to pity them. You see, I can tell you for free. Pity party does not take you anywhere. I hope you know. You see, no matter how bad your story is, eh? If you, it's your story, if you tell another person, when they say, hey, yeah, they will still go my eat. You've not seen very many people are fighting for pop-up. Eh? A friend of mine was telling me, yeah, they were trying to, you know, get their, one of their parents, you know, I know, the burial place, some elderly men and women. Do you have cold Fanta there? You come for somebody's wake up, you're asking for cold Fanta, chilled Fanta. That's to make you see that this pity thing does not take you anywhere. Worst case scenario, say, hey, yeah, and it was a good man. When my dad passed, one of the things I did for myself was to ensure that I didn't allow certain kind of people around me. There are people I would have listened to that will not take over pastoring. No, pastoring is very hard though. Joshua, you've not met people in this. People will show you. Yes, and pastoring people are showing me. Eh? But the truth is that God's strength is on my inside. And I also have people as well who have encouraged and pushed to show that, you know, there is much more in you. I don't wish and pray for anybody's parents to die, but you know everybody's parents are going to pass one day. It's a hard pill we don't want to swallow. When's the last time you heard of someone living over 120? When was the last time you heard of someone living over 100? How many of that do you hear? You see, it is life. It is life. I'm not saying you don't wake up and say, I pray that you just die. So that no, that's what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say that when life's pressure presses you, what comes out of you is what you are made up of. If you step on a cockroach, blood can never come out because there's no blood in cockroach. All together. Yeah? If you slice a fish, what comes out? Black, water, white, blood, everything. If you cut the head of a dog, what comes out? Blood or goat. Why? Because that is what they are made up of. When life tribulation comes and slices you, which it always comes for everybody, is what that comes out from you that you are made up of. Yeah? Is what that you are made up of that will come out of you. So it means that in your life, ensure that you build yourself around trying to make, have substance. Let's say have substance. Have substance. Have substance. You know, you should be able to be the one amongst your friends that can stand in the gap for your friends. Altogether, your friend tells you and says that, oh, this is what my landlord says, this is what this is what that says. So I'm going to stand in the gap with you and pray with you. I will see something happen. Right? But if you put yourself, and you say, that's why meetings are very important. Like I was saying in Acts 2, when they came together, the Bible says, the Holy Ghost, if you look at Acts 10, let me look at another example in Acts 10. The Holy Ghost began to speak. Look at Acts 10 as well. Look at Acts 10, 34. When Peter opened up his mouth and said, of the truth, I perceive that their God is not a respecter of person. But in every nation, he that feareth him and walketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is the Lord of all. The word I say ye know, which was published throughout all of Judea, began from Galilee after baptism. How God, what? Anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. And we are all witnesses to these things. Him God raised up on the third day and showed up openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God. And he commanded us to preach, verse 42. And 44, let's together, 1, 2, 3, go. While Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. And this circumcision, which was believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles was poured out the gifts of the Holy Ghost. So what was happening there? Acts 2, there was something called suddenly. Suddenly happens when we come together. Is that correct? Yeah? The Holy Ghost fell in Acts 10. It was because they were together. In one accord, is that correct? In one place. So how do you pray for meetings? You ensure you put your heart in the right place. Yeah, you know, I've told you over time, there's no one person in this earth that has everything that they need. God will put another person something you need. That's why you even see, when you want to give birth to a child, it's not one person that gives birth to a child. The only one that happened was supernatural. God has put in another person. So if you're someone that always lets cut off relationship, you are doing yourself. That's what I've just cut you. I just cut you. Who are you cutting? Yeah, you must learn how to draw lines. That's giving, clear. You know, one of the things I've learned to do over my life, I don't know how to delete people's number. No matter how much bad they do. I don't know how to delete people's number. Yeah? Because in the real sense, you don't know. You know some things God wants to do to you through somebody, but the devil also wants that thing not to happen. So he finds a little issue and throws in between both of you. Right? So God is always interested in man recognizing man. Altogether, if you look through Acts chapter 2 again, you find out that there were different kinds of people in that Holy Ghost space. There were those that were saying, what does this mean? And there were those that were responding to the move of the Holy Ghost. So how do you prepare for meetings? How do you prepare for meetings? Very important. We're just going to look at a few of them now, just to get our hearts in the right place. You know, one of the things, again, you realize is that in looking at meetings as special, it means you're looking at men as special. I always get that because it's men that make up the meeting. Yeah? You can't have a meeting without men. So we call it special because men are there. Altogether. You know, when I was younger, my mom, my parents would usually tell me that there's something that was called Lekki 98, right? Lekki 98 was a program held by Pastor E. Adeboye, you know, in Lagos then. And my parents always tell me that we trekked, you know, I'm product of those meetings. You know, my mom told me something recently. When I was very young, who are these people that stay with children nowadays in our world? There's another word we call them, childminder, all those minder. So the person that I was staying with, you know, when my parents, because when my mom would go to work and my parents would go to work and everything, they found out that for months they were taking me to a meeting ground where Pastor A. Adeboye was praying for children. So she was taking me behind their back every week for months. For months. I'm a product of meetings like that. Altogether. I'm a product of meetings like that. Right, there are certain meetings I've gone to I can never forget in my life. I always tell you, Pastor W.F. Kumuyi, right, the day he mentioned and he said, some of you are here, you want to rededicate and give your all to Jesus. I ran out there. From then to today, I've not looked back. Yeah? From then to today, this is properly over 15 years. I've not looked back. Right? But that meeting stirred up something in me. That meeting changed something in me. Because I acknowledge that there was somebody in that meeting that was a special man. You know, in our world today, let me tell you, don't join Twitter Christians. Are you hearing me? Don't join, and anyways, I've not seen any of you do that, but I don't, there's one person that tried to do it in Nigeria at the time. I had to call the person to order. You're just deceiving yourself. Don't join Christian Twitter. You know what we call woke Twitter? Yeah, you cannot achieve anything in the Christian faith that way. They can't. Yeah? Don't join the bandwagon of people and say, all men are men. The best of men is still a man. Don't we know? Like I was telling you about Peter and Cornelius. Bible says that when Peter came to Cornelius' house, what happened? They fell down on their face to welcome him. The Bible uses the word to worship him. When did Peter say, stand up, I'm a man, stand up, we're all men. He used to say, we're all men. It's Peter. Not the one that's supposed to give honor. Say, are we not all men? Why? You know, some people, they've talked you out of honoring your pastor as well. One unethical human being just tells you, why are you honoring that man at the IODC? You know, that's where the devil works. So you start calculating how this, 1999. My younger sister is more than, Who loses? Wait, are you telling me there was no day Pastor Debo was 26? When he was 26, was he less of God's man than now? Are you telling me Bishop Oyedepo? Are you telling me the likes of Ryan Bonke, the likes of, you know, EWK, were they not 20s? Were they not in their 20s? Were they not still God's men? There's all these people, I don't know. All this. Are there extremes on these matters? Yes. But is there extreme in your church? So why are you vomiting? Other churches say, okay, you are defined that they are going extreme. Is that your church? What's your business there? I always tell you, when you go to a place, find out what works there so that your heart can replace. If you go to a place and they say they must call their pastor daddy, why are you fighting it in your church? Wait, they are calling their pastor daddy, they are growing. In your own church, they are calling you Josh. You are only where two or three are gathered for 7 years. Now, is growth the result or a proof that you are in God's will? No. I'm trying to say, people want to refer to their men of God that way. You know, something I love about Christ Embassy. Yeah? They'll say, our esteemed man of God. Because they've come to understand that honor for man is regardless of the flaws that man has. I am to honor you regardless of your flaws. But God's word is to change your flaws. I'm not the one to determine where God's word will change your flaws. But regardless of those flaws, my honor for you is I'm seeing the content. What does God have for me? There are a lot of people we have lost out on a lot of things from other believers, from other pastors, from our pastors, because we are looking at what you call flaws. Flaws are not an excuse for a man of God to misbehave. No, a man of God should be an example, and what the example of how a believer should be. But not every man of God will be like that. There will be those that will fall. There will be those that will be lied against. Yeah, you know, I always find out when you see, I always find out that the more people that talk about the flaws of men of God are properly, they are properly full of flaws. They are flawed. Like, you want to say flaw, that's flaw. I always used to observe. When you say, have you heard, there's one of them, I had to caution him. I was like, don't ever bring this news to my table again. I know this the first time. They said that man of God, and they said they separated though. Let God be helping us. So when he first said it, I was just like, let God be helping us. So okay, let God be helping us. The next time again, now he now came back, say another man of God. They said that one of the choir leaders, let God be helping us. No, God is not helping us. Like, come on. In your life, don't ever speak to me about this matter like this. That one, I can, that same brother, I know 6 girls. That same brother. You can watch it. And you know me, I used to send online. You should identify yourself as a person. 6, I can count that I know. You know, there are girls you know. And there are girls you don't know. 6 girls that he has. You understand? And he said, that man of God, they say he divorced. How does that, he said, let God be helping us? Run away from gossips. They affect. You know what those things do to you? You start seeing your pastor that way. This man now. Yeah, how do you say? After all, the best of men is a man. Just before you know it, you start putting a shield in your heart. Before you know it, you start saying, I don't want to give my all. I don't want to be committed. Just so that I will not be disappointed. I don't want to be committed, so I will not be disappointed. Who is losing? Yeah? That's why you see, don't join anybody talking about any man of God. Both offline, on site, and online. How this men of God, they just don't have to, the devil is not after those men of God. Let me tell you, if I follow you to speak about the man of God in Tunisia, how does it affect you? It will not affect that man. It will affect your relationship with your pastor. It can't affect, you don't have a relationship with the person now. So the devil is not after that man. So when you see news trending online, right, the devil is after your own heart. You start gauging what pastor is saying. You start gauging it. This one, that this one has come like this. Like he has those tendencies. Oh, yeah. All the narcissistic. I mean, what did they call them? It's a phone, so narcissistic. Yeah. Somebody is telling that their pastor used to ask them to eat grass. Is that what your pastor is asking you to do? Huh? This is where there were grievous wolves. Why is that your concern? I understand online there are some things you cannot run away from because it's right in your face. Some of us know how to look for gist. Some of us, we hear one headline, we go to Google, because Google now helps you. Once you just type one story inside Google, it will give you the video. I say, video of man who has building lasting church in the city of Edinburgh that just decided to open a second branch. But this happened today. YouTube will bring it, will bring it out for you. That's why we say that you are looking for, you will find it. Right? So always forget, always remember rather, that God will use men. Say, God will always use men. Say, God will always use men. Every man needs other men. No matter, see, even if you are the richest men in the world are not rich by themselves. It is you and I that bought their products. If you have a product to sell, nobody is buying it. How will you get money? Microsoft Word, for instance. How did Microsoft Word, who bought, everybody here is Microsoft Word. At least 80-90% of us. We are the ones making him rich. So you see, he needs us. Are we here? Bill Gates and the likes, they all need us. Man has, you see, God has put man in this earth to be dependent on other men. So when you think of believers meeting, you must think of yourself as somebody who has other things to get from other men. I'll look at about 4 or 5 before we go today, right? How to prepare for meetings. Number one, how to prepare a special meeting. Number one of the things you do is write out your desires. What are you looking forward to see in this meeting? Write out your desires. Write out your desires. What do you want to happen to your Christian faith after in Christed? What do you want to happen to your life after in Christed? Write it down. Reason for writing down is after the meeting, you can go back to see and keep track of what has changed. We have experiences in church, for instance, where some people come and say after hands were laid on them, they just realized that they had much more boldness in preaching the gospel. They had much more boldness in heralding the gospel to their families. Some of them had much more boldness in going to the streets just by having a special meeting. Number two, pray ahead of special meetings. Don't just pray collectively as a church. You know, we are fasting from tomorrow. Is that correct? From tomorrow, we are fasting all through to Friday, right? Pray and fast. I'm going to meet in every evening by 7 p.m., right? Prayers will be given every morning as well so that we can pray along. But other than that, I expect that by now you already have done some days of prayer and fasting ahead of in Christ. Right? Take our time to pray during the week other than our general prayer meeting as a church. Pray for the meeting, right? Build that culture. You know, some of us have the culture, right, of doing all manners of things ahead of meeting. I saw somebody here this morning looking at LinkedIn. LinkedIn, a few minutes to service. No, that's not the way to behave. Right? It's a special meeting. Bring your mind there. If you have nothing to do, just talk in tongues. Just talk in tongues. Just talk in tongues. Very important. So pray in our house. Once we there's no day we come to church, we're not praying. We don't talk about anything. Yeah, once you step into the car, we are praying up until we get to the front of the church. No matter who you are, if you like, come and stay with us or don't stay with us, anybody, if you like, change your mind next time. That's the culture in our house. We are praying ahead of the meeting. Because that's the only way you set your mind right. Instagram is not what you check before meetings. Facebook is not what you check. Some of you need to delete your apps on your phones. Are we together? Don't be coming to church and the first thing you are doing before you walk into church, you are checking Instagram. You check Instagram, I do double tap. And you're not coming to church and be sleeping. Build that culture. Yeah, let there be boundaries. Pray towards the meeting, right? To prepare a special meeting, is that correct? Use your words ahead of meetings as well. This is my meeting. I'll be blessed in this meeting. My life will change in this meeting. My life will change in this meeting. My life will change in this meeting. Next point there, avoid distractions. Put your phone on silent. Right? Put your phone on silent. Right? Yeah, your phone should not be always be the one we know that your phone rings. If any phone rings in church, is this brother, is this sister. No, don't be that kind of person. Don't be that kind of person. Avoid distractions. Also, ensure that you are taking notes. Ensure you're taking notes. Be alert. You know, you cannot always determine. Now, can you have expectations towards a meeting? Can God surpass your expectation? Yeah. You know, that's one of all of these things will help you do. Once you have desires and expectations, God has a way of surpassing expectations. Altogether, God has a will. Trust me, God has a way. You see, you can be in a meeting, right? And even the pastor or person, whoever is ministering, will not even call you by word of knowledge. But by default, by being in that atmosphere, there are things that are to be caught. There are things that are to be taken. You know, not everything is altogether. There's some things that are caught. Altogether. You know, when you start talking to people who are not fervent, what are you catching now? We are looking for the word to meet. I'm looking for the word. Lack of what? I always say slothfulness. When you know there are some people, I always tell you, there are people who I just sit around. And from those meetings, I just catch certain burdens. But being in atmospheres, you know, atmospheres are very important. But how do you prepare your mind for the atmosphere? Very important. Right? Avoid distractions. It's very important. Very, very important. Yeah? Honor the meeting. That means you come early for meetings. Altogether, it's dishonorable to come late for Christian meetings. Yeah? You come early for meetings. There's no excuse. We always catch their flight. You can catch your flight. Altogether, you can catch your interview boss. You can catch your boss time. But you can go early to work. But when it's time for meetings, no. If you know it takes you 4 hours to get ready for it, to get ready to leave the house, what do you do? Wake up 5 hours before. Eh? Not that church is 10 o'clock. 9:30, you're still stretching. That's an unholy stretch. Yeah? Jump out. See, let me ask you a question. If you knew Jesus in the flesh, we're going to be here by 10 o'clock on Sunday morning, will you come late? If your answer to that question is no, it means you dishonor the church. Yes. When you start this teaching today, Jesus dwells in you. He dwells in me. So for me not to come early, it means that I've not acknowledged that Jesus is here. Are we together?
It means I've not acknowledged that Jesus is here. Right? So how do you prepare for meetings? You are there early.
Ensure I'm always there. I'm always there. I'm always there. Always there. Always there. 10, 15 minutes before service time. What do you do? Have to there, be there. That's honor. That's honor. So we treat our meetings with honor. We get there early. Right? We get there early. We start. Don't be those people who we say, there will still be that Joshua can talk a lot. You shall be singing after praise and worship. I don't know who sent it to be singing after praise and worship. Yeah? Or at this their prayer and this their church is very long. Every part of the meeting is important. Let it be that a day when you don't come early, for instance, we know that of a truth, something must have happened beyond your control. But how can something be happening beyond your control every Sunday? Every Sunday, something beyond your control. You lack control. Every Sunday, hey, Pastor, sorry, something beyond my control happened. It is beyond your control. I will check if anywhere is that maybe they did not, maybe it don't be anything. No? Maybe the food, the first set of food they cook, burned. They had to cook rice again. The first rice got burned. They must eat something. They had to first start the rice again. 15 minutes again, start again. It's beyond your control. Or maybe the steel was ice. They want to dissolve it. Okay? Now, sure, people are in church praising. You sit down on the dining table. You should be ashamed of yourself now. Why is church? Church is 10 o'clock. 9:45, you sit down on dining table, dining table, and they serve you with cooler. And they serve you with serving spoon. You're picking the rice small, small. You now pour veggies beside. But that will not purge you. It just shows you don't have honor for God. How do I know you honor God? I see how you honor God's men. The Bible says, how do I know you love God? I see how you love men. You can't say, I love God, I love you forever. Yet, someone does something you cannot forgive. You can't say, God, you know, I put you in front. You are not Jesus. I put you in front at 9:50 on your table. 9:50. You know, boss will take you 25. You know, Uber is 20 minutes drive. You don't start looking for Uber until 9:47. You know a bus will get you here at 10:15. Another one will get you here at 9:45. You will choose the 10:15 one. You know, you see, it's dishonorable for you to be walking into meetings and you feel like a celeb. Christian meeting. You know, some people just believe, I want them to have settled that. I want the young boys to go ahead and what is the one that went in front? John the Baptist. No, we are just prepare the atmosphere. Prepare the atmosphere. How to say? Have you noticed even me as a pastor? I walk into church when church starts. I start church together with. I could have been saying. I mean, a time will come where maybe we're having 2-3 services, or for some any reason I'm trying to do one or two things outside. But more often than not, you will see me in church when church starts. Not when it's time for the word. I just hold my mic. I'll be jogging into the church at 10:45. Someone lift up and says, "I give God." I have honor for the meeting. Say honor for the meetings. So how do you show honor for God? You have honor for meetings. Now, next point there is you stay hungry and expectant. You know, when God's word is taught like this, right? If he touch you, what do you do? You swallow spit, you swallow water, you drink juice, you move on. Now we're together. You know, we need to start living that generation and world of when people are saying, "Pastor, use me to preach." Eh? No. Eh? My dad will always say, "I cannot use tree to preach." I was like, imagine how that tree is sin. How will it relate to you? You understand? It's people that are in church that we use to preach. If it touch you, what do you do? You drink water, you drink your juice, you move on and put veggies on top. Right? It just makes life easier. Because the church is a correcting center. I can't pastor you if I cannot correct you. And if you think I can't correct you, I can't pastor you. You understand? It's simple. So anything I say here today, there's nobody intending though. If it touch you, it touch you. Think about it now. If I say you come late to church and you don't come late, did it touch you? So if you come late to church and I say you come late to church, did it touch you? It touch you now, so that's you. Is that not correct? And what do? You pick your own, you swallow it, and you move forward. I cannot be a pastor and not tell you you don't come late to church. What am I now doing? I'm not pastoring you. Do you understand? So you must have all those things that, you know, keep your heart. I cannot be your pastor and say you are using Instagram before church. And I cannot say you are using Instagram before church. That's not a good practice. You know, they say, get your heart in the right place. You know, you take more from meetings that you prayed for than meetings you didn't pray for. Go and test it. When you pray towards a meeting, meetings that I prepare for, and for some reason, maybe I didn't pray before coming here, I know the difference. If you are sensitive enough, you will know. You know, Pastor didn't pray towards this meeting. You will know. If you are sensitive enough. But if you don't even use to pray, how will you be sensitive? We are both in the same shoes. You understand? Right? So I said, you'll be sensitive if you are also praying enough. Yeah? Imagine you're coming to church and you're praying that pastor's word is going to speak to my heart today. How can you pray pastor's word speak to your heart today? Pastor now speaks to your heart. Pastor says you are coming late. You say you want to change the prayer point. You honor every meeting. Together. If the prime minister says, come and meet me in my house today, you'll be there 3 hours before then. That means you honor the prime minister over God. I'm saying if you get to train station and they say there's weather, you will pick your car and drive. You will call back, say, please, is that your car free? You say, please, I want to use your car. I want to quickly come to London and come back. I'm saying you will go out of your way to ensure you meet the prime minister at 2 p.m. this afternoon. But if it's church, some of you just open window. You just see dark cloud. One corner. In fact, the corner you saw dark cloud is not towards church area. Church is towards this side. You look here, you see dark cloud. See? It's like it will rain today. Like it will. Let me just, Pastor, don't worry. We'll join online today. We're not physically, what's the word some of you used to use? We're not physically disposed. Disposed to join, please, can we join you? Or like, will you tell that to Prime Minister? You know, I always tell you some things. You know, I watch you all as a pastor. I'm going to spend some extra time today because we're not meeting on Wednesday. And also, I watch all of you as a pastor. And, you know, some actions you take makes me know how much I can depend on you. You will not know. You will not know. It means that there's some flimsy excuse some of us give. It means that I cannot really depend on you at least until you grow to a stage. Because imagine you were to preach that morning in church. Right? Yeah. There are days. Was it not last year? Ambulance came to my house on Saturday. Right? Obviously, God's power is working, definitely. But I got myself to a place where I realized I must preach God's word. And what happened? The next day, Saturday, ambulance was in my house. Sunday, I was here to preach. My daughter was born on Sunday morning. If it's some of us, some of us will take leave like as if, you know, I don't really mind if you think you say I'm not sensitive. Why are you staying at home for 3 months after childbirth? You don't come to church. It's a different thing if they are giving you drip every morning in your house. Maybe they are monitoring something. That's different. We just feel I can't come to church until 3 months. It's not worse when you are even the man. You are not the one that gave birth, you are the man. You are the paternity leave from church. Paternity leave. My wife gave birth on Sunday morning. Sunday morning, what happened? I was here to preach. If you did not even know my wife gave birth that morning until after church finished. You are here now. Or if some of us, Pastor, I want to be there for them to give them, you know, custard when they need custard. You didn't want to be in church. Jesus says, whoever puts his hand on the floor and looks back is not fit. A woman came and said, Jesus, let me go and beg, bury my father. Please, let me bury. What did Jesus say? Let the dead bury the dead. As a pastor, I'm not even bold enough to say it. I've not said that one yet. Some of you are fighting me. I've not even said, let the dead bury the dead. I'm still having battle. So if I now say I want to just, you know, maybe what I'll do next time for some of us is I'll just put the Bible, I just quote Jesus. Jesus said, you know, and that's not to say you're not sensitive about some of those matters, but I'm trying to say, let your priority be right. You only get the best from the place you have put your best. Oh, yeah. If you come to the things of God shabbily, you will get things shabbily. You might, you know, there are things you will still get. Maybe you say, oh, well, God still blessed me. But the truth remains that there is much more you could have got. It's very important to understand. I know why I'm emphasizing this, right? So that we don't abuse privileges. We don't abuse opportunities. Now, I was telling you a few years ago when one of my boss had told me, he said, he called me on Saturday morning, be at the office by this time on Sunday. Straight away, I told him, I cannot be at the office at this time on Sunday, sir. You know, that star has a way of stepping it down. Yeah? I can finish church and come. Maybe some of us, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Instructor, sir. See you soon, sir. I'm at the gate. It's just one service with me, Jare. Jesus did not come down from the throne. What? Where's your heart? Where's your heart? Yeah? Some of you know how many Sundays I will be in church, and after I finish church, I'm heading, last week Sunday, I see from the church, I finished preaching straight to the airport. Came back the next day, Monday. I'm saying, what I could have done, I could have missed that Sunday service. Why? Because the flight is cheaper on Sunday morning. Oh, is that what? It's not cheaper. It's cheaper now. Eh? It's cheaper. And I said, the flight is cheaper on Sunday morning. Let me just quickly just put you based in London and jump back. But guess what? Because I know where my heart is, and that's where your heart should be. You know, I always tell your pastor is only an example of who you can become. The pastor is not an example of someone that should be far off. It is your pastor is your model. If pastor can go through this, it means that it's an example for me. Now, let me tell you something. It's possible that you're not there yet. Amen? But don't block your mind to think you can never be there. That's the wrong approach you can have as a disciple. When you think that, that one is only them that are very committed. No, it is, they are committed. I'm not there. I know I'm not there yet, but I'm to be there someday. This is the way we view the Christian faith. That's how we view Christian meetings. That's how we view our coming together. Right? You see, when we come together, that's supernatural meeting physically. There's the fellowship part where we'll snap with ourselves after church and we'll celebrate with ourselves after church. But there's also the part that has to do with God being in the, you know, when you say God is in the atmosphere. There's some that, you know, there's all stuff that is, I think it was Phil Thompson that sang it, atmosphere shift now. Yeah? The truth is that things happen in the atmospheres. There are people who have been in church that I will just be preaching. And I didn't even identify them by word of knowledge. And by just preaching, just reach me and say, Pastor, I came to church with this pain. All of a sudden, it's no longer there. Let me tell you for free. You know, I know it doesn't happen, but I don't have a testimony of anybody who said that online. Listen to what I didn't say it doesn't happen. But nobody has ever reached out to me to say, Pastors, we're preaching today. Right? I joined online. Right, I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but I don't have that record. But I have multiples of record that just by being in the church, there's a brother that was having a serious, you know, pain. I've had situations of people they were booked for surgeries, right? And just by being in church, that changed. There's a brother in church, in Nigerian church then, right? And what happened? He just came to church. And in fact, the person that was leading just actually said, hold the hands of the person beside you and let's pray. And I held his hands. I didn't know what was dealing with him. And what happened? The moment I just laid hands on him, that thing which he was actually supposed to have an appointment that week with the hospital, everything dissolved. Atmospheres. You know, when we are here like this, there are things that can be caught. You can receive things. So the question is, how is the posture of your heart? So when you see me talking about come early, don't be distracted, I'm trying to talk about putting your posture of your heart in the right place so you can get as much. Don't let people who are visitors come to a meeting. Like, you know, I told you, the people that benefited most from my father's ministry were people that were outside. When I knew that fact, I made up my mind and I said that in my life of ministry, as much as I pastor, I will make sure the reason why anybody benefits more than any of you here is not because I didn't say it, but because you didn't listen. You know what I just said? My dad's ministry touched more people outside the church than in the church. More. My mother-in-law is here. Right? I'll use that as an example. You can use that as an example. Yeah? She comes to church. That's my wife's mom. Right? Yeah? My dad was not pastoring her when she got her healing over 15 years ago. You see why I'm saying this here? So that, you know, I used to say it more when she's not here. So you know, they can inform me the story. She's here. Yeah? She was not a member of the church. My dad's ministry healed more people outside the church than in church. I said that will not happen under my watch. Can you not value what you have? Can you not value what you have? How can people who are outside? So I said to myself, if you like, call me any name. I will say the truth that needs to hit you. If it hits you, you fall, you stand up. If it hits you, you move back, you adjust. If it hits you, you cry. You know, there's some meetings you finish for trying to go home and cry. It's godly. Do you understand? You can finish, you know, every day you finish for church and say, Carrie! There are days you finish from church, you go home and you weep. You weep. They will say, what is wrong? Say, I cannot explain. Why? Because God's word touched you. What is God's word if it cannot touch you? It's just motivational speaking now. As your pastor, I want to speak to your heart, speak to you and tell you that this is what needs to change. And what do? You swallow it. You know, people say that the truth is not bitter. It's the tongue of the person that has tasted falsehood a lot that makes it look like truth is bitter. I can always say, if somebody says something about you or something to you, what do? Sit down, weigh yourself, ask yourself, is this me? You know, don't lie to yourself. If it's me, adjust. Dear saints, are you learning something today? So, are you ready for in Christ's head? Trusting God that will be a supernatural meeting. Trusting God. Say, it's my meeting. Say, it's my meeting. Say, I'm strengthened. Say, God's word comes to me directly. So, what can you do? You stay hungry. Say, I stay hungry. Say, there'll be stirrings of supernatural. Say, there'll be stirrings of supernatural. Say, I'll be more devoted. Say, I'll be more consecrated to the things of God. So the posture of my heart receives of God's word much more. So I receive of God's hand. 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 Glory to God. Things happen in meetings. You know, there's a day this brother, I'm going to use as an example as well. There's a day this brother, you know, reached out, you know, I don't think he even reached out to me. Those days we were just in church, right? And I just, by the Spirit of God, before teaching, wanted to lay hands on those who were sick. And what happened? I just said people should come around. Right? He had gone for a check. Is that not correct? You are in front of us now, so you can confirm it. He had gone for a check. They've told him this thing. His heart was already beating fast. And what happened? He came and laid hands on him. He went to the hospital. He's telling the next day, I'll be a few days after. And they said they could not find anything. The hospital asked, you know, some doctors, they tell you, it was a mistake. It's not a mistake. It was there. That's gospel. I don't know what happened to you too. You came to church here one day. Is that not correct? Yeah? And what happened? Something that we're looking to get as a report in the hospital. You went back to the same hospital, everything changed. That's gospel. And I think this thing is because we don't have testimony time. Praise Master Jesus. If we have testimony time, we have a lot of things that people are saying. You know now. You know things happen now. Do you understand? But the truth remains that if you don't come ready, if I put my hand like this, right, and you throw something to me, I can only catch that thing because I was already firmly ready. You know, if I close my eyes and my hands are like this, I'm not ready for what you are throwing. You know, there's a tendency you will throw it and my hand might just go down. But if I'm watching, that's why you stay alert in meetings. You're observing. You're observing. Yeah, you know, so I remember someone in the hall said to me in a joint church, I just called the person now. The person was having... groin? Is it groin? No, someone very strange has to do with the private part. Sorry, I don't know how to pronounce it. We don't know the pronunciation, but we know gospel. Yeah, and he came out, and I want to use him as an example. And he stood in church, and I just laid my hands on him. Just the same way I would use any of you as an example. And what happened? The Ania just went immediately. He went to the hospital, everything was clear. You know what he now messaged to tell me? He now called me and said, Pastor, please, anytime you want to use anything as an example. He didn't say anybody, he said anything. If you want to use anything as an example, he said, make sure you call me, Pastor. That's meetings. First of all, it was in church for me to see him to call him. You know, in Nigerian church, that's why I like working around. In Nigerian church, a lot of times, I'll be in church and I'm just doing like this. And someone is getting something. If this person was not there, the person will not get anything. Yeah? But this person as well. You know, you can get some things you are not ready for. But what about the things you are ready for? Imagine how much you can peel from. So get your heart. Get your heart in the right place. Yeah? For some of us, our issue is that, we are not bold to preach the gospel. From in Christ that you will receive boldness. Yeah? Well, you will be able to stop your neighbor much more than before. You have your colleagues at work. You are not scared that they will sack you. They don't sack people for preaching the gospel. I tell you for free, I've done it severally. Yeah? You know, I told you I was working in one place here on Christian Street, new house talk. I go there and ask them. Right? A lady came to office, and what happened? She fainted. I don't know if how far the faint went. You know, faint has a very cadaver. She fainted. And what happened? They went to call ambulance. And I went there beside her. I knelt down beside her and laid my hands on her. And she jumped up. She was like, what am I doing here? She received more power, and she was stronger than how she walked into that shift that day. Are we together? Yeah, you know, And I'm saying to you that for meetings like that, you can receive much more boldness to lay hands on. You know, to heal a sick requires boldness first. Some of us, we don't even have the boldness to say, "I command you to go." I'm not, wait, why don't you put yourself in a position where you say, at least let it be that I said go out and nothing happens. Then I don't even say go out. You have a headache on your head. What do you do? Is go to take Panadol. But you know what? As you are walking to the kitchen to take Panadol, my health is strong. My health is strong. I stay in health. I stay in... You can go throw the Panadol and drink water and stay in health. Why? Because you trust more in God's power. Yeah? Different people have different levels of faith. Definitely. Right? You see, it's not always faith to stop using medication. Right? Because you want to prove you are in faith. It's not always faith. People who do those things, I see, there's a level they build their confidence to. You know, I always tell you, lay hands on headache, let it go, before you try to raise the dead. I'm not saying God's power cannot raise the dead as your first miracle. But you see, those kind of things, they have a way of quenching your heart. My dad passed. What happened? I went inside the room? You see, ice room, mortuary, the mug. I said, shut the door. I feel like I said in the Bible. Eh? I said, shut the door now. So Jesus said, shut the door. I went inside the mug. They shut the door. Everywhere, white, woman, different everywhere, different table. And I saw my dad, I laid hands on him, and I prayed for him. And my siblings were, you were there now, my mom was there, I prayed for them. Nothing happened. You know, when I stepped out of that place, the first thing I did was to look for the sick person. You know why? Because if I did not do that then, I won't heal people today. You know why? Because experiences has a way of dealing with your heart. Pastor said, if you lay hands on the sick, they will recover. The dead shall rise up. I lay hands now, nothing happened. So it's always good to start with the little minor things. You fall down, your leg sprains. What happens? You get yourself and speak God's word. For some of us who are married, learn to use the best of God's power in your home. I always tell you in my house, several situations, right? I can sprain my back, right, Wapo? I will not see my wife as Steph. I will see my wife as Sister Steph, who has God's power. And every time she lays hands on me, my sickness goes. That is honor in my heart for her. I can say I thought that God's word. Eh? I can say I am pick you that I am pick. You don't have anything to give. No. That's dishonor. Okay? The first time I touched Sister Steph, God's word, we spent 3-4 hours. Only Bible. I can say I was real responsible for our conviction today. But guess what? Several times I'll have sprains on my back. I'll have injuries on my back. And she just, and I told you one day now, when my leg was spinning, is it my leg that's spinning or my back was spinning me? I said, come, let me lay hands on me. I said, you, tell me, come. But I didn't say that. What did I do? Me, I come. It's not me that want to be ill. It's the sick that need physician. She said, come, let me lay hands on you. Even if she said, you come on, come here. It's up to me that wants to be healed. And I walk from my side of the bed to our side of the bed. Eh? Have I not come? God help you that you got me healed. I want to tell the bed. She let me healed. That's what honor does. Are you here today? Has this instructed your heart?